You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Australia's Defence Force Chief, Angus Campbell, has released a report saying there is information to substantiate 23 incidents of alleged unlawful killings of 39 people by 25 Special Forces personnel by the Australian military in Afghanistan. The Green Party has condemned the revelation of these alleged war crimes, and I speak to Golriz Gahman, the party's spokesperson on defence, about what happened and begin by asking her to define what constitutes a war crime.
I think most of us don't know, but there's actually, you know, it isn't the case that anything goes in war. There are actually, you know, very hard law kind of limits to what you can do in armed combat, and they're kind of set out in various international covenants that we've all signed on to, but mostly now the kind of modern wars of law, you can see them in the what's called the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, because that's where, you know, war crimes can be tried against the highest levels of political and military leadership. But within militaries, they apply the same kind of basic limits. So basically things like you can't attack civilians, you can't attack a hospital, you can't torture people, you can't, you know, shoot people in the back as they're running away or surrendering. You're required to provide medical care to prisoners of war and things like that. So basically there's, even though we're sending people off to be in a really violent situation, we've all kind of, as a community of nations, agreed that certain things go beyond what might be required to defend your country's borders or whatever the war might be about. Of course, well, the war itself can also be illegal, but that's a different crime. and in the case of the Middle Eastern wars, you know, the Iraq and Afghanistan, they were both illegal wars because they weren't sanctioned as part of the UN system, which basically recognises, you know, self-defence, for example, as the reason to go into combat.
So would you just be able to quickly outline exactly what the Australian Defence Force has been accused of at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think we can know exactly what's happened, but basically the allegation seems to be that they were killing civilians. They were then covering that up by planting evidence like guns or weapons next to dead bodies of people who are not in fact armed. So again, the death would be not only a war crime but a murder, because it wasn't part of combat. They were killing civilians, and then to go further than that and to plant evidence would be, again, you know, a sort of trying to cover up a war crime, which in the military tribunal or court would be its own crime as well. So the worst of what you could do, which is basically going in and killing people who are not involved in the war deliberately and then covering it up. And it seems to have been widespread.
So is it now the responsibility of the Australian government to hold those accountable?
Yeah, and I think this is what we have to hold really fiercely to here in New Zealand as well. We absolutely have a legal obligation to investigate, prosecute and punish war crimes. So it isn't just the responsibility of the military, it's you know, our own legal obligation as well. It's a moral obligation, you know, too. If we've sent troops off, you know, in our name, to, you know, and I think in the case of those two wars, there was a lot of dishonesty around why we were even there. But, you know, New Zealand was involved too at a certain point because under the second John Key National Party government, we sent off troops. And the idea was, you know, and what the Prime Minister then said was, we've got to get some guts, you know, and go in there and fight the terrorists. But, of course, there's been nothing but a rise in terror and insecurity there. And then we're finding out that there might have been a culture, at least in some of our allied forces, of committing war crimes. So we have an obligation to investigate, and we've got our own allegations, of course, now as well that have come forward in a different way.
Yeah, because as, I mean, in terms of this case specifically, as a third party here in New Zealand, how would we begin to hold them accountable?
Yeah, I mean, we can condemn what's happened there, and it does look like they will investigate. It's what the ask will be is that the investigation is an independent one, rather than and just an internal one, and that whatever then arises, if there's evidence of these allegations having truth to them, which it does seem to be quite strong evidence, that then there is accountability, and that will mean by way of trials and that those are independent as well. So it's more about upholding the rule of law and the culture of accountability, and I think we can do that as well through the way that we treat similar or far to a lesser sort of degree of seriousness, but as they've arisen here. And we have had in the Operation Burman allegations of very serious harm. So, you know, death of civilians and people being handed over that's resulted in their torture. So we have an obligation to, and we can set a good example as good international citizens of doing the same for our own. And we have set up an investigation that came off of the latest Operation Burman report. And what was really, really alarming in that report was that it found essentially a years-long culture of failing to report up what was happening on the ground. So there was a lack of transparency, which, you know, might not be as bad as planting evidence, but we won't actually know because things weren't being communicated up the ranks and in particular to the minister, who's the oversight, you know, political part of the oversight mechanism. So we've got a lot of work to do here as well.
So, yeah, it was outlined that the culture of kind of secrecy and deceit has just fostered an environment that makes soldiers feel like they can get away with stuff like this, and it's kind of normalised these crimes within the context of being in a war. How would Defence Forces now begin to address and tackle that?
Yeah, so it does seem to be a culture of secrecy, as you say. I think that's the right word. Or at least a total, you know, a breakdown in the reporting requirements, where you do have to actually accurately report up what's been found to be happening on the front lines. Whether or not for some soldiers that means there's a culture of committing war crimes and covering them up, or whether for some, you know, that as trapped as anyone in a situation where they're required to cover things up. It's not good. It's a definite breach of our legal obligations to ensure that our people are not committing crimes, and that's happening in our name. So as a country, we have that responsibility, and it's in our law. But I mean, the best thing we can do, of course, is to refuse to join wars, in particular those ones that have been started as sort of a chauvinistic, unlawful invasion of other countries, because we know that when that happens, that war crimes are far more likely to happen. At the moment, though, where we're sitting is that we have a panel that's been set up under the last government to investigate the failures in the communications and the mechanisms that are there for transparency and accountability. The next step, I would say, is to take the Operation Burman allegations seriously enough to trigger a proper criminal investigation, to recall all of the foreheads of the military that were in place across the time period that the allegations and the failures have happened, and to treat it seriously, to set an example. And I mean, the example is exactly what we actually have an obligation to do.
So would you say you see the need for the implementation of a firm checks and balances system to hold our military accountable?
I think the public has had a huge loss of trust with what's come out within Operation Boomerang, and in particular the fact that there was a culture of secrecy around what happened, so we can't know really the extent of what was happening because of that. So I think to regain our trust, the New Zealand Defence Forces do have to show us in a transparent way that these things will be investigated independently, and that if needs be, there will be actual accountability, and that may include criminal trials. And they must be seen to go right up the ranks if the implication is in any of the evidence that wrongdoing was known or was deliberately covered up or there was an involvement right up the ranks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.